Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude, verse 5. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Dang, that'll preach. That's good. I'm sure you've heard this text before many times. It is entirely possible this text was used in your wedding for you guys that are married, or you've heard it at a wedding. In fact, it's pretty popular for weddings, which is great. It's wedding scripture. It's possible it's crocheted on a pillow somewhere in your house or on a mug, right? Or some standing on a wall, which is great. It's amazing scripture. And all these things could not be more true about what love actually is. It's true for marriages, true for friendships, true actually about life. But this text, as beautiful and as amazing as it is, it's not explicitly actually about marriages or friendships or anything like that at all. What's fascinating is that this portion of text is smack dab in the middle of this apostle Paul, who is trying to teach and correct and help shape the life of this church with respect to these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit is pouring out on the church. It's right in the middle. In chapter 12, Paul's trying to say, hey, I want to deal with some of these issues that are going on in the church with respect to these spiritual gifts. I want to help you understand it. He's going to continue on in chapter 14 in terms of how to use these in a corporate setting. So he's talking about all these spiritual gifts. There's a ton of misinformation about it. In fact, if you were here last week, we just talked about how incredibly important it is to be. It says, do not be uninformed. It means you and I need to know about what's going on with these things. And it's right here in the middle. Chapter 13, he says, this is incredibly important. Love is incredibly important. Now, why on earth is he giving us maybe the most meaningful breakdown of what true love is in the middle of talking about spiritual gifts? He's actually going to clue us in as to why he's talking about the true nature of love while he's trying to inform the church about spiritual gifts. And you can just jump back just a few verses. In verse 1, and here's what he wants to say. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. My gosh. This is so, so, so good. This is what makes God amazing. This is what makes him a good father. There's some incredibly rich and profound and powerful things to take from this declaration about the Father's heart with respect to gifts. Now, I just want to remind you what he said, if you weren't here last week, what he said in chapter 12, which is, in chapter 12, he's addressing a major issue. And the major issue is this. There were some people that felt like their gifts weren't up to everyone else's gifts. They were feeling lesser. There was this tendency to look at like the superpower gifts and then the not so cool gifts. And Paul just wants to step back. The Spirit of God wants to step back and say, nothing could be further from the truth. There's not cool gifts and not cool gifts. There is the Spirit of God hovering over your life to pour into you what he wants to be able to give away to the lives of those around you. And he's saying in chapter 12, if you think that what you carry and what you have is not significant, you have missed the heart of the God of the universe. You matter, and you're bringing something valid, and you're bringing something relevant, and you're bringing something needed because the Spirit of God has come upon you to give his power and life away. And this is how he chooses to build each other up. This is the way that the church is going to get stirred. This is the way the church is going to get ministered to. This is the way the church is going to be encouraged and built up. It's when your gifts are being employed in the life of this body. And that's what he's saying. But in chapter 13, he wants to push the pause button to deal with another issue. And that is, there were those who saw their gifts and saw what God was doing in them, and they thought, man, I love my gifts. I'm so gifted here. And they felt empowered by their gifts, and they felt esteem from their gifts. And there was this temptation to chase that feeling. Now, if you've ever found yourself good at something, all my people who bake bread out there, your sourdough, come on. And your sourdough is so good. All right? And when someone eats your bread, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest ever. You're like, yeah, love that, right? We've all had that. Maybe you're not a sourdough baker. We just got into sourdough at our house, so it's fresh bread on my head. So, but whatever your thing is, the temptation is the easiest thing in the world is to go, man, I've got these gifts, and it feels so good when everybody goes, man, your gifts. And you know what? It's great to be encouraged. In fact, I think it's an important part. Here's the problem. The easiest thing in the world, the greatest temptation, is to look at your gifts and to start to find your identity in them. And all of the sudden, this incredible God who has hovered over you and come into you, the King of the universe who's chosen to put his throne in your life, and all of a sudden, it's no longer about him. It's just about what you got and what you're carrying. And this text is so critical and so important from the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is going to say, you can speak in supernatural tongues. And you can get supernatural wisdom and insight. You can see things ahead that no one else could see. Maybe even blow people's minds. And you can have supernatural knowledge of something that you couldn't possibly know about unless the Spirit of God told you. And you can have faith to see circumstances and situations all the way to their beautiful end. Or you can be generous and give thousands and thousands of dollars away. Or you could even give your life as a martyr for the name of Jesus. And if you do these things for your sake and your identity, and you do not do them with a heart of love of the Father, it is empty. It's empty. Meaning there will be many and many myriads who will be empowered by the Spirit of God, and yet there will be a temptation to do it for their own namesake. Now listen, no one ever says They do it for their own namesake. The way that we know that we do it is when we find our identity in it. And so between chapter 12 and chapter 13, he's going to say, in chapter 12, he's saying, hey, you guys think your gifts aren't cool enough. And by the way, in chapter 14, he's going to say, hey, here's an appropriate way to use this in the life of the body, because some of you guys have gone a little bonkers and need some, like, settle down, right? This is what he's going to say. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. In chapter 13, he just wants to push the pause button and say, whatever's going on in your heart right now, with respect to where you are and who you are and what you carry, you need to understand this. The most important thing about you is, do you love the King, and do you love people the way he does? Because that is why you are gifted. Your giftedness is meant to be an expression of the Father's heart for others, period. Let me say it again. Your giftedness, I'm looking across the room at the giftedness. It's unbelievable, the gifts, the abilities, the talents, the callings. Your giftedness is about an expression of the heart of the Father to a world that desperately needs to know him. They don't need to see your amazing giftedness. They need to know the love of the Father. That's the point of the gifts. That's it. You want to know why God has given spiritual gifts? He wants to show his love to the world. And so you got these two temptations. Chapter 12, I'm not gifted enough. And chapter 13, my identity is in my giftedness. And church, there's one central reality. There is one overriding motive that will kill both of those broken ways of thinking. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not gifted enough. I don't have the cool gifts. Or my gifts are amazing, and thank God for all the cool things that I carry and the identity that I get from it. There's one thing that fixes all of it. It's the incredible, radical, beautiful love of the Father. It fixes it all. And so as he's describing these incredible gifts, he's saying, this is important. Carry. It's important for you to carry the love of the Father. It's not about comparison. And it's not about you. It's just about expressing the love of the Father. Almost every issue that people have with the topic of the spiritual gifts from this Corinthian church until now actually has to do with the way that these gifts are often abused and used in the wrong manner. Almost every issue that people have ever had in the church or outside the church with these incredible gifts has come from the fact that they're not being used for the love of the Father over the lives of people. It's about identity. And so God's setting this foundation, and he's saying, I have things to give to you, and I have things to give through you into the life of my people. But I do not want it to be hijacked from the reason that it exists in the first place, to spread the radical love of the Father to my people. So don't miss the point of this altogether, why this whole thing even exists. Love has got to be the lens by which we see the spiritual gifts. Love is the lens by which we look at these things. Something happened to me this year, and I wish I could say it was an amazing, like, amazing spiritual gift, but it was not that. This year, I had to finally break down and buy some reading glasses. I've had 20/20 vision my whole life. I see like a hawk. Okay? But when my kids come say, grab their phone, hey, Dad, look at this meme, and they put it right here, I'm like, I can't see. And so literally, my kids know now. They're like, okay, Dad, look at this video. Stand back like that. I don't know what happened. I'm 47, I'm dying. I can't. It's just my eyes are dying. My eyes are at least dying first. I remember making fun of my dad about these things. But the truth is, I have gotten to a place that if I'm going to see something up close, I gotta have particular lenses that blow it up. It's glorious. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I have one right now, because it just happened, and I was trying to fight it off for the longest time. I have one pair of reading glasses that I got from the Dollar General. They were less than $3. I'm pretty sure they're for women. They don't look good at all, but I can see up close. It's amazing. But what I have found, if you do not have the right lens, doesn't matter what you're looking at. You don't have the right lens, it doesn't matter what you're looking at. You're not seeing it rightly. And this is what the Spirit of God is saying. I have so much to give to you. You have so much to accomplish for my namesake and glory in this kingdom. But if you do not have the right lens on for these things, it's going to be another idol that will tear you down. And I'm so sad that in the life of the church, that I believe the spiritual gifts have become an idol in many ways. And the explicit instruction was, don't let this be about you. Don't let this be about you, but use these gifts so that people will know my love. They'll know my love. Because you can do all, in fact, you will do amazing things in my name and for my name. But if you don't do it out of this lens, it's empty. And I feel stirred by that personally. I feel moved by that. I feel challenged by that. I feel convicted by that personally. What is this thing about? What are we doing? And do I really want to love people the same way that this scripture is describing? That's what the Father's saying. Any attitude, any perspective about the spiritual gifts that's not coming from a heart of love to build up and to care for people, that's the wrong lens. Change it out. How do you honor a giver? Everybody brought you, everybody ever made something really special for you, like they handcrafted it, like they built you a whatever, made you something really beautiful or made you a table or something, and they gave it to you as a gift, and it was their own craft. It was really a special gift. How many of you, when you had that special gift and somebody says, oh my gosh, that is an amazing craft, and you're like, yeah, I know, it's awesome. I really knocked myself out on this deal here. It was so good. No. And if you have done that, we'll pray for you after church. We didn't have prayer partners. No, you don't do that. No, you celebrate the beauty of that craft. And when someone says, man, where did this come from? You go, oh my gosh, you got to know my friend who did this for me. Aren't they amazing? That's how gifts are meant to be employed in the life of the church, and this church, and his church. You gotta see things rightly. Paul's gonna make this definitive statement here as he's going about to transition from 13 into 14, and in the next couple of weeks, we're gonna talk about how to deal with the right way to use gifts. But he's going to say something so profound as this transition statement in this letter to this church. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're there in your Bibles, 14, just verse 1, he says, so pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So here's what he says, pursue love and desire gifts, meaning the aim of our heart, the aim of our heart is always the love of God. That's what we're after. If you and I are running after something, we're going, we're pursuing, we want to grow, it is the love of God. And we desire that God would grant these gifts so that we can love well. You hear that? Pursue love. Should you desire to be gifted? Absolutely. There's no prohibition here. There's no one going, God's not standing back going, how dare you want to be gifted? No. He's saying, be gifted. Just don't use it for yourself. Use it to love people. So pursue love and desire. Pursue love and desire that you'd be gifted. The point of desiring the gift is that you, it's the means of pursuing loving people. And so the instruction gets really practical. And I love the fact that the scripture, the God of the universe, here in the word says pursue, because the point is you and I will not arrive. Meaning I don't care how far down in this kingdom you've been, 80 years in the kingdom, or you're brand new follower of Jesus, everyone's in a new and fresh place of pursuing. Pursuing to love. And the reality is you're going to fall short. And it happens all the time. I got 5 people in my house. I got a wife and 4 kids. I would just be the first to tell you. Every day I tell them I love them every day at some point. At the very least, when they're going to bed, they're going to hear from me, I love you every day. And I do. I truly, truly do. But if we were to go to the textbook definition of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where, and I just think God did this on purpose, love is patient. God, darn it. Love is kind. Oh, I mean, just come on. Because if you've been in, you know, had a friend in your life, you know, pretty quick, you don't do this perfectly, do you? You don't love perfectly. You've not been loved perfectly. There's only one who's loved perfectly. So pursue. So if you're going like, man, I think I've had some bad attitudes with respect to the gifts. Well, good news. We get a fresh pursuit today to grow in something. I don't have to be perfect at it. You get to grow in it. This is why God's amazing. This is what makes God amazing. That's the invitation. Come on. Grow. Pursue. To grow in real love more and more. I want to pursue loving my wife and my children and this church and my friends and the strangers that cut me off on the highway and all of them. Love. Grow in, help my heart, God. You feel that? Help my heart, God, grow with this love for people. And if I will do that, then the gifts that I've been given get to go freely into the lives of people. And I don't have to worry about my identity. My identity is then the fact that I am a blood-bought son of the living God. I am a co-heir with Christ. I will rule and reign with him for an eternity. So getting a little jazzed about a teaching gift is kind of dumb. Just kidding me. Whatever your sweet, cool gift is, come on, you pull down mountains. God's going, meh. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Anything, I give gifts. So come on, let's use them to build this thing here together and to see this city blown over by the God of the universe. That's what I want to do. I'm going to ask our team to come up. Just let's lean into it. I have some more notes, but we never have time to get to all the things. We'll maybe just get to it next week. Because there's some, like, how do we pursue love? I'll try to answer that question next week. Come back to next week. Here's the hook. You guys stand. We're going to worship. Let's worship. We have 7 minutes left. We're just going to give our hearts to the Lord and our identity. And just say, God, this is not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you. What a gift this morning for this life to not have to be about you. You feel that freedom that could come from that? Just like, this is not about the thing that I'm making or pursuing or creating. No, this is about you and what you want to do in my life and through my life. How amazing is that? What a gift. God, we want to give our hearts to you right now, willingly. We give it to you. This life is about you. Our heart to worship. It's about you. Heart to live. Our heart to be gifted. It's all about you. So would you fill us now? Would you just lay down any of your pursuits? It's okay to have pursuits in this life. It's okay to build businesses and grow in ministry and care for your children and build careers. There's nothing evil about any of that. It just can't be the identity. So just lay it down. Lord, this is yours. My life is yours. I'm giving it to you. It's about you. We love you. We need you. Help us to pursue and grow in this thing. You're a good father. We want to be like you. We want to care for people the way you do. Help us in our homes and help us in this church. Help us in this city, far beyond. We love you. We worship you. It's in your name we pray.